Well, a married couple who both worked in the West End, they decided to go to Lanzarote for a long weekend. They'd been there before. They'd stayed in this lovely, simple, rustic hotel, and that's where they were going to stay again. But because the wife's work was more busy than the husband's, they decided that he would go a day early and his wife would join him the following day. On arriving, the husband thought that he would email his wife. As even though it was a very rustic, basic hotel, they'd recently installed one computer for the guests to use. But the husband, he accidentally got one letter wrong in his wife's email address, and he sent off the email without realizing his mistake. Meanwhile, back in the UK, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. He'd been a pastor for many years. He'd just died following a heart attack. And the widow decided to check her email, expecting messages of condolence from friends and relatives. But instead, she found this email. "To my loving wife, from your departed husband. Subject, I've arrived. I've just arrived and have checked in. It's amazing, I didn't expect it, but they even have email here now. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Now, we laugh because it is an amusing story. But just imagine for a moment that were true. Just imagine it were true and you were that widow. You would be troubled. You'd be troubled about the future. You'd be troubled about the death of the person you love most, and you'd be troubled about your own impending death, which now seems rather too impending. Well, that is exactly the position that the disciples are in our passage this lunchtime. Jesus has just warned them that he's going to die, and that they may well have to follow him later. Have a look, if you will, at verse 33. Look at verse 33 and what Jesus says there. He says, verse 33, he says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I'm going, you cannot come." And then he goes on to amplify this in verse 36 when Peter asks him where he's going. So Jesus replies, verse 36, you'll see there, Jesus says, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." So the disciples, they've got great reason to be troubled. Great reason to be troubled. And yet look at what Jesus says to them in chapter 14, verse 1. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled." At first glance, it seems very insensitive of Jesus. The disciples, they're about to be abandoned by him. The one who they've been following these last few years, the one who they thought was the answer to all their problems, they're about to be abandoned. They could die themselves, and Jesus just says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It seems the height of insensitivity. Well, at the start of chapter 14, Jesus gives his disciples and us two reasons why he can say what he says there. And firstly, the first reason is we see that Jesus has prepared a place for his people. Jesus has prepared a place for his people. Have a look, if you will, at verse 2 of chapter 14. Look at verse 2. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." So Jesus was telling his disciples that his departure, it had a purpose, to provide a place for all his followers to come to spend all eternity. But we need to grasp what Jesus means when he says he is going to prepare a place for his disciples. You see, he isn't saying that he's nipping back to heaven to do a bit of spring cleaning. It's not like heaven's got a bit dusty, and so Jesus is going to go around with his pinion and his feather duster trying to make the place spick and span before people start arriving. No, it was the actual going to heaven that was the means of preparing the place for his people. As Jesus was about to leave the disciples, he was heading to heaven, yeah. But he was heading to heaven via the cross. He's prepared the place, not by cleaning and dusting the rooms, but by dying on the cross to gain the right for every sinner who believes in him to enter into heaven. Take Peter. Take Peter. Peter thought he was ready to follow Jesus to where Jesus was going. Look at verse 36 again. Look at what Peter says. He goes, Simon Peter asked Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Now literally that is, I will lay down my life on behalf of you. Peter thinks he can die in place of Jesus, on behalf of Jesus. Peter didn't understand that actually it had to be the other way round. He couldn't die on behalf of Jesus. Jesus had to die on behalf of him in Peter's place. Because the only way that you or I or Peter can know the certainty of a place in heaven is by trusting in that death. Jesus' death in our place. Paying the price of our sin on our behalf. A few weeks ago, I went to, I think, the smartest dinner that I have ever been to. It was a black tie event. It was in the Savoy Hotel. There were about 400 people there. Terry Wogan was there, Jimmy Tarbuck, Alan Lamb, the cricketer, Tim Rice, the guy that does all the musicals with Andrew Lloyd Webber, the British ambassador to the US, and then little old me. Now, that was the people, the food. I tell you, the food was even better. You know, normally, you're doing pretty well if you've got a menu card, and the menu is actually a bit of card, a bit of sort of stiff bit of card, rather than a bit of paper. Well, at this meal, I tell you, it wasn't just a card. It was a whole booklet for the menu. It was amazing. A whole booklet giving you the menu. It was amazing. And you might be asking, I don't blame you if you are, how on earth did an oik like Jago get to go to a dinner like that? Well, it is a good question. Basically, I was there because I'm on the old boys committee of the school that I went to when I was age 7 to 13. And it just so happens that one of the people who are on the committee, he's very, very rich. He owns his own bank, basically. And he invited everybody on the committee to come along to this dinner. Now he prepared a place for me at that dinner. But he didn't prepare it by sort of nipping into the kitchen of the Savoy and cooking up a culinary masterpiece on the night. No, he prepared my place in advance. By paying some large sum of money for me and the others to be able to go to the dinner. He paid on my behalf. And Jesus, in advance, prepared a place in heaven for all Christians, not by paying money, but by paying with his own death on the cross. Jesus paid on our behalf. So Jesus, he tells his people that we don't need to be troubled about the future. Because he has prepared a place for his people. But secondly, he says we don't need to be troubled because he will take his people to the place. Look at verse 3, the next verse, and how Jesus continues. Verse 3 of chapter 14, Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus says that he will personally take us to be with him in heaven. That's wonderful, isn't it? Christians have no need to be troubled. Just as when I went to the dinner at the Savoy, I'd have been thrown out on my ear if I tried to march into that dinner by myself. But as I walked in with this guy who was known there, who had paid for my place, as he took me into the meal, I had no reason to be concerned that I wouldn't be allowed in. I was with him. And it's the same with Christians and heaven. Jesus will walk us in there. We have nothing to fear. It doesn't depend on us. Just look again at the logic of the start of verse 3. Do you see how Jesus says it? He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you by heading to heaven via the cross, I will come back and take you to be with me. Jesus' work on the cross in the past guarantees his word about the future. He will take his people to the place. Have a look, if you will, at the choice in verse 1, open to the disciples and us. In verse 1 of chapter 14, Jesus says, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Troubled or trustful? Troubled or trustful? Which is you? Jesus is saying that all Christians should be trustful. We don't need to fear the future. We don't need to fear death. Jesus says our home in heaven awaits us who are Christians. And it is totally certain. Yet I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I am such a worrier. Often with a troubled heart about the future. Even actually when the future holds something very, very good. You may be surprised, but my wife, Susanna, she is actually going to put on quite a lot of weight over the next few months. And it's not because she's going to start eating lots of cakes. She is, in fact, pregnant. She's 3.5 months pregnant. The baby's due in November. It's very exciting. It's a huge joy. And yet, as well as it being a hugely joyful time for me, I found myself worrying about the future. Lying in bed, staring up at the ceiling, worrying. Do you do that? Worrying about learning to be a dad. The worries of everything with the pregnancy, whether it'll go okay. The worries about an extra mouth to feed and an income less to live off. The worries about whether I'll be able to prepare talks and sermons okay with sleepless nights and baby squawks in the house during the day. Now those are worries about something exciting in the future. But for many of us here, there may be far more serious or significant things looming in the future. Maybe a difficult annual appraisal. Maybe redundancy. Maybe illness. Maybe fears of being abandoned by someone through a relationship breakup. Maybe the biggest worry of all, worries about death. And yet here, this lunchtime, we are being reminded about the ultimate reason why we don't have to be troubled and worried. Because no longer do we need to think, what if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? What if I'm a rubbish dad? And no longer do we need to think, what if, not what if, but even if. Even if I lose my job, even if I lose my health, even if anything at all hits me in the world, I still know my ultimate destination is heaven. Jesus has prepared a place for his people. Jesus will take his people to the place. I love the story of the 18th century pastor, Henry Venn. As he was nearing the end of his life, he went to live with his son John in his son John's house, which was down in Clapham. And in the biography written about Henry Venn, this is written. It says, by June 1796, it was evident that Henry Venn was dying. However, when told that he was dying, the prospect made him so jubilant and high-spirited that it kept him alive for another 2 weeks. Now, we don't need to be troubled by the future and death. For the Christian, death is coming home to the Father's house. We know that feeling, don't we, when we've been away from home for a long time and then we come back, we come home, open the door home, we can relax. But even as I say this, I'm sure there are some here, certainly people who aren't yet Christians, but also some Christians, people who are thinking, well, it's all very well what you're saying, Jago. It's all very well, but it's all in the future. Comfort after death. It doesn't stop me worrying and being troubled about the difficult things in this life. Well, if that's you, because it is often me, let me just add one final thing. And that is the amazing comfort of the little Greek word monai. Now, this little Greek word monai, it only appears twice in the whole of the New Testament. But the two times it appears are both in John chapter 14. And the first appearance of this word monai is in verse 2. At monai, it literally means dwelling place. And in verse 2, it's translated as room. So if you look at verse 2 of chapter 14, Jesus says there, he says, "In my Father's house are many monai, many rooms, many dwelling places." That's what we've been focused on this lunchtime. Christians, we will be in the future dwelling with the Father and the Son in heaven. But the other time that the word monai is used is in verse 23 of chapter 14, where it's translated as home. So have a look at verse 23. It's right at the bottom of the right-hand column on page 1082. Verse 23, Jesus says there, "Jesus replied, 'If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our monai, our home, our dwelling place with him.'" Now, isn't that amazing? In the future, our home will be with the Father and the Son in heaven. But in the present, the Father and the Son will make their home with us, all Christians, here on earth. Christians, you and I, we will be at home with God in heaven. And yet he is also at home in us now by his Spirit. Troubles here on earth, we know that we have God with us, at home with us, to help us through those troubles. Let's hear Jesus' words to the disciples once more. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." If you're here today and not yet a Christian, to be honest, I'm not surprised if you find your heart troubled in the face of the future and death, because you're not yet in relationship with Jesus, the one who died for you, the one who comes to live in all Christians by his Spirit, the one, the only one who can get you through death to heaven. And the remedy for your troubled heart is to put your trust in Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust Jesus. Trust him to deal with your sin and get you to heaven. But Christians, as I've said of myself, we can still find ourselves, can't we, often troubled by the future. And the remedy for us is exactly the same as for the unbeliever. Put our trust again in the one that we originally chose to trust in when we became a Christian. We can trust Jesus for our future. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, many of us have many worries whirring around our brains. Lord, as we think on those worries, would you help us choose not to be troubled, but to be trustful? Please, Lord, help us trust in you. And we do thank you so much that even in the face of death, you are the one, the only one, who we can trust in to bring us to heaven. Lord Jesus, please help each of us here to trust you, even maybe somebody here, to trust you for the very first time as they start out with you. Amen.